Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Just turn to Luke 8, where we were on Sunday. Just want to pick up for a moment on a couple of things from there. Luke chapter 8, the story of the parable of the sower. We're living in days that we've never been in before. And we can't look to the past to determine how we're going to walk into the future. Because the past has happened, what God has done, he has done. And what God is doing today is new, it's fresh. And we want to be led by the Holy Spirit into everything that that God wants to do in these coming months and days. I can't find what I was looking for. So let's just have a quick look. I'm not going to read through the whole thing because we concentrated on this parable on Sunday, and it Jesus talks about four types of ground that the seed that the farmer went out to sow went into, and obviously he parallels that with people's hearts, and the farmer goes out, and it just says he goes out to sow seed, and he scattered the seed, and it fell on four different types of ground. Well, you and me, we are not purposed to go and scatter seed all over the place. God has purposed for us to be, verse 15, have a look at that. The good soil consists of those with good sound hearts. They not only hear the word, but maintain their trust in it. And because they persevere in their faith, they produce a good harvest. God has appointed you and me to bear fruit, and fruit that's going to remain, right? He's appointed you to bear a good harvest. A good harvest is one where the seed goes into the right soil. The purpose of God for you and me as individuals, and for us corporately, or for any believer, is not just to go and scatter loads of seed. God is intentional. God is purposeful. God is very focused on what he wants to do. And he's given an analogy here of the different types of hearts we can come across. But, you know, the harvest that God is speaking about is a massive harvest. And God doesn't just want us to go and scatter gun seeds all over the place. God wants to lead us, and he is leading us, to people that are ready to respond to him. For me, part of the purpose of the going out with the seed is not just to scatter it and say, well, 25% hit hard ground, 25% hit some rocky ground, 25% hit some thorny ground, and 25%, thank you, Jesus, got some right hearts. How we need to understand this, we looked at just before the summer, is that as the seed goes into somebody's heart, life or heart with a hard heart, that it begins to break their heart down to become a rocky heart. And as the seed continues to work, that rocky heart becomes a thorny one. And as the seed continues to work, the thorny one begins to become one that has the right soil, so that then, boom, they get born again. Because the hard heart says here that it stops them from believing and being saved. The rocky heart means that it's very easy for the truth to get picked off somebody's life. And the thorny one, even though somebody's received it, he gets choked because they never really repent and deal with certain issues or the things of the world. And so the word gets choked. And there's a process there that God is showing us of what he does to get somebody to the point where they're ready to be saved. Now, this season that we're in is a very, very intentional season. And so what God is speaking over us is verse 15, that we are good soil with good hearts, and that we maintain our trust in him, and we persevere with faith to produce a good harvest. That's what this season is about, producing a good harvest. We're not going to have a harvest where, you know, we get out there with the word and loads of people hear it but don't respond. We're not going to have a season where we get out there with the word and with the life of God and people respond, but then it doesn't last and they just walk away a few days or weeks later. We're not going to have a season where the word goes in and people are excited, they respond, it's great, but then they fill their life with other stuff and gradually they fall away. You know, we're having a season where we are having a good harvest. Now, part of for each one of us, If we're going to produce a good harvest, then we need to make sure that we're sowing the right seed and that we're putting it into the right soil. And so whatever seed we sow is the seed that's going to be produced. If you are growing as a person in the things of God, then things will happen around you. Any church, if the leader or the leadership are growing, then the church will grow spiritually and numerically.
Absolutely.
It just will happen. If there's something healthy going on, how many of you know that something healthy grows? How many of you know if you eat a lot, you sort of grow quite a bit, don't you? That doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy, but the principle's there. If you feed on something and if you put things into your body's going to grow. It's going to be nourished. It's going to be healthy. If you exercise also, then you're going to be fit, not just healthy. And in this time, part of our challenge for all of us individually and for us corporately is, what are we sowing? And are we sowing something into somebody's life? The health of a body ultimately is determined by the leadership, but how effective that body moves is determined by everybody. So if you and me and everybody in the body, if we are doing what we said on Sunday, that it's not a question of which heart do you have, it's actually God's purpose is that we're all verse 15. And how do you have a good heart in terms of the things of God? You respond to the word when it is put into your spirit, when you hear from God. But you have to maintain it. You have to persevere. You have to work with that word to maintain a good heart. If you don't work with the word, then other stuff begins to creep in. A different set of words or a different set of circumstances or somebody else's opinion or preference or the pressures of life or anxiety or worry or fear or something else begins to come in and will speak something into your life. And so it's not a given that he has a good heart. You have a good heart because you maintain the seed of the word that is going on in you. As you maintain that seed, it grows within you so that your attitudes, your thinking, your decisions, your thoughts, your desires are growing around the seed of God's word that is at work within you, within any of us. You see, and then what God does, then fruit is produced from that seed that we are working with. God doesn't expect us to bear the fruit. All he wants us to do, it just says here, the good soil consists of those with good sound hearts. So all God wants us to do is have a good sound heart. How do you have a good sound heart? You maintain the word. Or with the word that you hear, you maintain it with your trust in God. You persevere in faith. Then it just says, you then will produce a good harvest. Now, that's one thought there for a moment, okay? There was a lot more to it on Sunday, but that's just one thought there for a minute. John the Baptist, his ministry was out in the wilderness. And the people came out to him, to hear him, and to respond to whatever he was saying. He didn't go into the towns and villages and cities. He didn't go into the marketplace. He was an Old Testament prophet, okay? But he's just right at the beginning of the New Testament. But actually, his lifestyle and the way he was like an Old Testament prophet. And so the people went out and, he didn't wear a lot and he ate a funny diet. But what he was doing was preparing the way, but the people went out to him. He didn't go to the people. Now, when you come to Jesus' ministry, he didn't go out to the wilderness in the same way that John the Baptist did. Jesus went out to the wilderness to spend time with the Father, or he went off into lonely places, put it that way. The only time that we know he went into the wilderness was when he was led by the Holy Spirit for the 40 days where he fasted and prayed and really overcame the enemy for his ministry. Now Jesus went off on his own, but where did Jesus live and where did he live his life, as it were, and how did he exercise his ministry? He exercised his ministry in the villages, in the towns, in people's homes. He went into the synagogues, he by the lake, in any all kinds of different scenarios, Jesus went where the people were. What happened on the day of Pentecost? They were all in the upper room after on the 10th day or after 10 days. The Holy Spirit came. What was the first thing that happened? They didn't have a three-hour revival meeting. The first thing that happened when the Holy Spirit came, they all spilled out onto the street. Suddenly there was a manifestation of God in public. And in public, everybody was saying, wow, we can hear you praising God in our languages. We can understand, you know. And they then preached. 3,000 got saved and baptized that day. Pretty good start. But what happened when they got filled with the Holy Spirit? They didn't keep it within four walls and then decide, you know, in a meeting, let's do a little bit of evangelism. There was an overflow of what was happening at the moment that they couldn't contain. And it burst open into a public arena, out into the street. And many people responded when they heard the gospel. There was a release of the Holy Spirit in a different way than there had been with John the Baptist. There was a release of the Holy Spirit now upon those early believers to really see the church, the early church birth. But it's interesting how it happened in a very public place. Part of these coming days, I don't just mean 24-hour days, but the time that we're in, is what happens out there through our lives, through everybody's lives in Kingdom Faith, or through a believer's life. That God is bursting out in very public places, in streets, in the workplace, by a lake or a pool or a sea, in somebody's home, in the back garden, down in the park or in the mall or wherever it might be. And God is wanting to help us so that we don't live with a wait mentality.
Come on, absolutely.
That it's not all going to happen in a meeting. There's two parts to what's going on, I believe. One is the event of what happens in a meeting, but secondly, it's the power of the process. And God has been speaking about seeing a greater release of power. Now, we've got to have that on Sundays, a greater release than we're already seeing, greater release of power in the event. But also, God wants us to live in the power of the gospel during the day, every day. See, Jesus didn't have a meeting-centered Christianity. He didn't have a conference-minded Christianity. There weren't such things. He didn't have an event-orientated life. Now, there were lots of events that took place. People getting raised from the dead, that was an event. People, cripples walking, that was an event. Blind eyes open, that was an event. Dumb people speaking, that was an event. But it was the event happening in the process of life. It wasn't all set up for the Sabbath when suddenly Jesus did everything. Yeah, he healed a withered man, a man with a withered arm on the Sabbath. You know, great. But there's not many, and he did some things in other synagogues, but he's certainly preaching them. There's not other stories of what happened in synagogues in terms of healings. But so things happen in the meeting place. But how many of you know that lots of people don't flock to church? What did begin to happen is people then wanted to come and find where Jesus was because of what was happening. So I'm sure, you know, increasingly we're getting more and more people coming on Sundays and people that don't know Jesus, they're not saved yet, and all of that. So Sunday is absolutely essential in the life of who we are. We want more and more unsaved people to be coming.
Yes.
And really, we all of us in this room, especially if you're on the team, we should be inviting people every Sunday.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Amen.
So, how many unsaved people do you know?
That's it.
And when was the last time you invited somebody to church on Sunday?
That's it.
Because every week we should be inviting people to church. Jane and I, you know, we've got a number of different people that we know that are unsaved that we're praying for and, you know, reaching out to in different ways. And, you know, some of them, you invite them, you come along to church or do you want to come to an event. Some are more open, some really aren't at this moment, you know. But it's like, it's not my job to say yes or no on their behalf. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes just that one question, and suddenly they go, yeah, all right, I'll come with you. Or I'll come to an event, or come round your house, or do something. But for all of us, you know, over the last few months, I've met two or three different leaders, and it's kind of just triggered something in me that I've just begun. I've been looking at in my own life, and one particular guy, great leader, got a great church, not in this country, another country, and seen a lot happen in the last few years. And he he said a few years ago, he was just frustrated that they weren't seeing many people saved in his church. And they had a great dynamic, and this guy's a very strong leader. They have a very strong spiritual dynamic in their church. And he said, this is great, but, you know... And somebody said to him, well, how many unsaved people do you know? How many unsaved people do you spend time with or hanging out with or have around your house? And he's like, oh, not that many. And so this person said to him, how many unsaved people do you have on your mobile phone that you got their numbers for? And he was like, wow, that's a challenge. And so he flicked through his phone list, and he found he only had two or three unsaved people out of about 200 people or whatever he had on his phone. So he said, right, in the next year, this is what he said, or the next 2 years, something like that, 1 or 2 years, he said, I'm going to make sure that half the people in my phone are unsaved people. Right. Not just on a phone, but I'm actually making contact with these people. And so that's what he set out to do. And it just triggered something in his leadership, triggered something in their church as well. And their church is, in the last 5 years, went from 300 to 1,000 in the last 5 years, and or just over that. And but he said it was such a challenge that he was full-time. They were praying, they were believing, they were doing loads of stuff. He had all his staff, they were praying and believing. They were very strong spiritually and all that kind of stuff. And they had evangelism going on. But there was suddenly one day, there was like, what am I doing personally? What seed am I cultivating in my own life, first of all, that inspires faith to see something happen in somebody else's life? And then what seed am I sowing into somebody else's life to see them respond? And we expect God to move, don't we, when we come together? We expect God, do we or not? Everybody's, you don't look very happy this morning. Maybe this is too whatever, I don't know. But, you know, for me, I've had a few days. I was in Sweden for 2 days at a leaders thing. I spent most of Saturday praying, Sunday night and all day yesterday, praying, reading, writing, thinking, and all of that. And I don't know, but... I do know. It's time we had some changes around here, all right? And one of those has got to be that every single one of us, if you're on the team, if you're on the staff here, and let alone in the church, every single one of us needs to, by the end of this year, have led somebody to Christ. Honestly, God's been convicting me. If we personally are not seeing people saved, we're... You have to question whether you're backsliding.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Right.
You really do. Because that's what I've been doing. You know, we reach out, you reach out, we collectively, we do all of that. But actually, personally, there is something that, you know, I met a couple of people that used to work in China. And somebody brought a... A pastor came, said to them, can you meet up with a young lad and see if you can sort him out because he's backslidden? And they're like, well, what's he done? And they said, well, our expectation is that each person sees at least one person saved a day, 30 people a month per person. And he's only seeing 8 to 10 people saved a month. He's lost the fire, he's backslidden. Can you meet up with him and refire him? I mean, this couple were like, Rums, we've never led somebody to the Lord every day, 30 days a month, and you want us to, you know. And the perception from this pastor was this young lad's backsliding because he's not seeing one a day saved. And I heard this story, and I walked away, and I thought, well, we're all backslidden then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
this isn't a condemnation message this morning. For me, I'm just, God's just stirring some things in me, right? And this thing about producing a good harvest, it's down to you and me. It's not down to God whether you produce a good harvest or not. It's down to you and me. The amount of harvest is not down to God. It's down to you and me. Because God is always, always ready. He's moving. He's producing good harvest all over the place. Do you know what I mean? And so, not to get too heavy this morning, but God wants to release us with the joy of salvation in a fresh way that releases the joy of salvation into other people's lives. There's a dynamic of growth, let's use that phrase, there's a dynamic of growth in your life and my life that God has purposed. There's a certain dimension of growth and life that will only happen as we see somebody else saved, and then we personally take them on, invest in them, disciple them, and they begin to grow in the things of God. There's a dimension to your and my, our Christian lives that only come alive when somebody else comes alive in God.
That's true.
And we need to, as well as want to as well as need to, whatever phrase we want to do, we want to live in the power of the gospel at work in our lives. We're not looking for revival, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not looking for revival. What is it? We want to live in revival. How do you live in revival? Verse 15. If you hear the word, okay, but maintain your trust in it and you persevere in faith, that's how you live in revival. You see, if you respond to something God says to you and you work with that word, there is no space. What if you're working with a word in your life, there's no room for a lie to come in. There's no room for fear to come in. There's no room for a deception to come in. There's no room for apathy to come in. There's no room for laziness to come in. There's no room for something. See, if you're working with something, you might have somebody try to distract you because you're working with somebody. Say, well, hang on a minute, I'm busy here. I'm doing something. Can you hang on a minute? Because I'm focused. I'm intentional. I've got my mind and my eyes fixed on something here, and I haven't got time for that. I there's just some things. We've got a leaders meeting all day today, and we're going to be praying in some stuff. We're going to be thinking. We're going to be brainstorming a few things, and we'll see what comes out of at least today. But there's going to be some changes around here. We're not going to have any more just turning up to do what we do. Go in the office, do a quick trip here, a quick trip there. God is going to focus us on the mission of what we're about. For the good harvest that every one of us is connected and working to see God moves, lives being changed and all of that. Now, some of it might involve a bit of work in the office, but God's going to transform our thinking, our mindsets, and the way we look at what we do. So we're going to reorganize some stuff and just focus things in a way that are right in line with how God wants us to be as Kingdom Faith. So we're just going to be praying through some stuff today, looking at some things, brainstorming a bit, and doing all of that. Sundays, for us as certainly as the team, for Sundays, we need to see this as the event of the week.
That's it.
That it is it is just so, so important what happens on Sunday. Sunday is not a day off. Sunday morning is not a morning off. It's not a roll in for the meeting at 10:30. Sunday is our collective moment in the week where we all join our faith together to see a God explosion in every person's life who walks into that building, whether they're 3 years old or 93 years old, whether they go up here or upstairs or in the main hall there at the NRC. We join our faith collectively to release the things of God to impact every person. On Sunday, that atmosphere in the building, not just in the meeting, but in the building, the atmosphere around the building needs to be electric. When people are coming in with their cars, they got 6-8 people parking cars that are just beaming. They walk through the door and they walk into an atmosphere of life, faith, hope, encouragement, just this buoyant, uppy kind of atmosphere and environment. You and me, we create that. We are right at the core of creating that dynamic of life. What happens here in this church on a Sunday and between Monday and Saturday, what happens here during the week, everything that we do here every day of the week determines the life and dynamic of Kingdom Faith everywhere. What happens in that meeting? You know, I don't know how we're going to do it unless we want the place people to be in, ready to start, not rolling in for 10 minutes, right? But the atmosphere in there needs to be full of faith, full of expectation. And even if there's only 30 or 40 of us that initially, right, coming in with that kind of thing, then that's it. Because that will release the things of God. Now, I know there's more people than that, that are a lot more than that come with an expectation. We want to be sharp and really focused on a Sunday with what God wants to do. That, you know, if you're in the worship team, you're there before you're supposed to be there. You're there, you've prayed, you've spent time with God, you've met with God on your own before you've even arrived. If you're on the host team, you've met with God before you even got there. Do you know what I mean? If you're leading a prayer, you've met with God before you've even got there. If you're doing anything, you've met with God before you've even got there. That you come with an expectation. You come to release the things of God. If, you know, whatever we're doing, I know there's others involved in this, to make it happen. But the real spirit of excellence needs to be a mark on everything that we do. Timekeeping, through to the way the place is set up and ready, through to everything that needs to happen on a Sunday, that from practical to spiritual, in that if there is a divide, but you know what I mean by that. And so no matter who walks in, they encounter people, they encounter God, and something happens in their life on a Sunday morning. Every unsaved person, they go away impacted by God. If they don't get saved, they have some kind of encounter with us and with God. Absolutely. And they're like, man, I'm coming back.
That's it. Right. Come on.
See, now we want to live like that every day.
Right.
Every day.
Right.
So when you get up in the morning, right, you start with, right, today is a day where the Spirit of God is going to be at work in me and through my life. I'm living with the spirit of excellence in my life, my thinking, my attitudes, my desires, because I want to produce a good harvest. So I'm going to make sure, I'm going to maintain whatever the word is that God is saying. I'm going to work with that word. I'm going to speak that word. I'm going to declare that thing. It's going to grow within me so that today my attitudes, motives, desires, thinking are shaped and in line around the word and what God is saying. Because I haven't got room to be negative. I haven't got room to have a go at somebody else. I haven't got room to be complacent. I haven't got room to be laissez-faire. You know, really, I mean, you can have an easygoing attitude, but we don't want a laid-back way of living where it's just, yeah, whatever, you know. We want to be easygoing, but we want to be intentional at the same time. So everything we do, it's like, right, you know. And so there's a load of stuff we're going to tighten up, sharpen up, quicken up, accelerate up, or whatever we need to do here in terms of why. Because we want a good harvest. A good harvest is not a rocky one. A good harvest is not a thorny one, and a good harvest is not a hard one. A good harvest is one that comes, yeah. So you ready for that?
Yes.
So God's challenging me left, right, and centre at the moment, okay? And it's not been easy, but yet at the same time, it's like, come on, you know? Sometimes over the last few days, I've been praying, I've been really like, come on, you know? And then pray through something, and then the next minute, I feel like this, oh, my word, you know? And about me, because God says something about me. And then he's said a few things, and then I've responded, repented, or whatever. And then prayed through something and seen it, but then he's been on at something else. And so firstly, I want to apologise. I don't know what you think, but I know for me what's been going on in me. But firstly, I want to apologise where I've not been on it. I've not been 100%, not been really focused, not been totally intentional, where sometimes I've been a bit laissez-faire. I mean, it's okay to be laissez-faire at times. I mean, if you laissez-faire leadership, if it's an aspect of your leadership, that's great. To kind of check how people are doing and release them in it, but you can't live there, you know. And so anyway, I've just been challenged by the Holy Spirit, by God or whatever, but also by just being with some other people for a couple of days. And I don't know about you, I've heard loads of stories from what's happening around the country in different places and in other nations. And we're seeing some stuff happen here as well, but I'm sitting there thinking, God, great to hear their stories, you know, but I'm not satisfied with what we're seeing. I don't want to live for tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. That's what you said to us. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your power. And in one sense, he doesn't turn around and say, oh, all right, then I'll do something. He's like, it is, because I am power. I am salvation. So, of course, today's a day of salvation and today's a day of my power because I'm alive today and I'm on the move today. So are you going to click in with me then? That's more the question. It's like, oh, yeah, you know. So God wants us to release our faith for souls, for harvest, for things to happen, for God to move, for the purposes of God to take place. Is that all right? Are you ready? Let's stand together. Of course, 9:15. Wow. So how do you have a good sound heart? You work with the word. You maintain it, persevere in it, and then you produce a good harvest. That's what God is speaking over your life and my life. A good harvest. Is that all right? I'm not sorry. I don't want to come across in any condemnation way this morning. We can't save anybody in and of ourselves. We don't have only God saves, right? Is that right? But God works through faith, and God wants to speak into our lives so that there is faith there to see things happen today, to see things happen when we're tomorrow, when the next day, or whatever, or the weekend. So that none of us, especially if you're full-time here, that none of us are just living for, well, one day we're going to see some things happen. But actually, we're all buzzing with the vision of, okay, the big vision, revival for a generation. What does it look like? Turning the tide of a godless society. What does that mean in reality, if you sort of boil that down more? It means you and me are people that are living in the power of the truth in our own lives every day. That we're making decisions in line with the truth every day. But also, we know what we're about in terms of intentionality. And in terms of seeing people saved. In terms of making disciples. You know, we're not part of the crowd. We're not part of the crowd. And what I meant when I say crowd, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about just life, the crowd of life that is out there. We're not part of the crowd and we just kind of, we're here doing this, that and the other. You know, you're the tip of the arrow. You're the front end of what God is doing. You're a breakthrough person. You're a releaser of his purposes. You have a dynamic of faith and life that is at work in you. You have the seed of his word that is in you, that's growing, that is flourishing. You have the seed of the kingdom that is in you, being expressed through your life. You have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you right now. You have the power of God that is at work in you right now. You have the power of his healing hand in you at work to be released through you right now. You have the authority of God resting upon your life so that you can exercise authority in his name, in prayer, in life, in situations. Amen. And so God wants to trigger that life that he's placed in us with his word. So, Father, I thank you for the power of your word that is at work in every one of our lives this morning. Father, I thank you that you have speaking a good harvest over us. I thank you, Jesus, that we're not hard hearts, we're not rocky hearts, and we're not thorny hearts. Father, I thank you for good soil, good hearts in this room, in the church. Father, I thank you for the power of your word that is at work. But Father, I thank you that you work in us so that we're quick to respond.
Yes.
Teachable and open. Ready at any moment for something you might want to do in somebody's life. That we're available at any given moment. A phone call, an email. Walking down the street, going into a shop. Somebody calls round our house. Whatever. At any given moment. That we're ready to speak, to act, to see something happen, to encourage, to strengthen, even sometimes to challenge or confront if that's what has to happen. Father, I thank you that Jesus lived in readiness at any moment. There were lots of events that happened in his daily walk. So, Father, I thank you that there are many events that you're wanting to do through our daily walk. Father, I thank you for the power of what you do on a Sunday, and we want to see more. But Father, also I thank you for the power of what you do through our lives, that we are looking for you to move daily through our lives. Father, I just thank you for all the people that we know that don't know you, all the unsaved people, those that don't know you yet. Father, I just thank you for their lives. I thank you for what you're doing in them. Thank you that you are at work in them. That in some way through our lives, the seed of your word, of who you are, is doing something at this moment in their lives. Father, we thank you for all of the people that we know, that we're reaching out to, that don't know you. Father, we thank you that you are moving them from having hard hearts to rocky hearts to thorny hearts, to having those hearts that are ready to respond and really repent and believe and come right through into a totally new life with you. Father, I thank you for that as we pray over them, pray for them, I thank you for a greater love that grows in us. I thank you for a greater desire in us that grows in us for their lives. Father, I thank you that in the way you've been working in me, work in all of us, Father, that we can't just settle for living in a certain way. I'm not going to settle for living with frustration any longer, but I'm not going to settle for anything. But I'm only going to be content, Father, in seeing what you want to happen through my life and our life together. Father, I thank you for a quickening in every one of us, an acceleration in every one of us today for you and your purposes. Father, we just speak fruitfulness over our own lives, fruitfulness over the church, fruitfulness over every person. And Father, I thank you for the power of your word at work in every person that this moment that we are actively reaching out to. Father, I thank you for the explosion of the truth of your word in every one of their lives today, for conviction, for revelation of who you are. Father, I praise your name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for people being healed in homes, people being healed in the workplace, people being healed out on the streets, people's lives being transformed by a lake, a swimming pool, or by the sea, on the beach, or wherever it might be. Just the everydays of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you right now that the seed of your word will not be stolen, destroyed or killed in any of our lives, anybody else's life that we are investing in at this moment, discipling or reaching out to, whatever. We just draw a bloodline right now around every person's lives in Jesus' name. We just draw a bloodline around, especially around every person that we are reaching out to that is not saved. We draw a bloodline right now that no person is going to be led across their paths by the enemy to try and steal, kill or destroy, distract them, lead them into something else or affect their life or family in any way whatsoever. Father, I thank you that you have them right where you want them at this moment. And I thank you for an quickening today in their lives, in their hearts, of who you are. Father, we praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that we're not farmers who just scatter seed, but we're ones who are very intentional, very focused, and we're putting seed right into people's lives that are ready to respond to you. We thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.